How can anyone draw near to God? The scriptures teach us, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In the Old Testament, no one could approach God until the Messiah came. No one could come near the Lord, whose presence was manifest in the temple, except the high priest. And he could only draw near once a year. Within the holy place of the tabernacle and then the temple, there was an inner room called the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. Only the high priest was allowed to enter on the Day of Atonement. A thick curtain separated the Holy of Holies from the outer courts. The curtain, known as the veil, was a barrier shielding God's holiness from the people. And whoever entered into the Holy of Holies was entering into the very presence of God, only the high priest. And the continual blood sacrifices that we read of in the Old Testament were not sufficient to remove the penalty that was due to man's sinfulness. Unless a perfect and sufficient sacrifice was provided, no reconciliation could come between man and God. It would never be possible. So how then can anyone draw near and stand before the holiness of the Almighty? No one could draw near unless God himself provided the way by means of a perfect sacrifice. Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross changed everything. When he died, the curtain in the Jerusalem temple was torn in two from top to the bottom, and the way into the holiest of places was now open, meaning that we can now draw near to God through Jesus Christ because he opened the way. He came from heaven and was the only one found worthy. He gave himself as a perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty for sin. He accomplished all that was necessary to satisfy the Lord's righteous demands. He secured eternal life through the shedding of his own blood as an oblation to God. And his death upon the cross was the sufficient remedy by which man could be made right before God. For by one offering, we read, he perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So we can be confident to draw near to God because we know that the blood of Jesus has atoned for our sins and made us right before God. The torn veil symbolized his body, which was torn on the cross for us, opening the way for us to come. If the Father never acted in sending his Son into the world to offer him in our place, you and I would have no hope. No sacrificial act that we could do would ever obtain our salvation. We would still be separated from God. And God condemned, we would be condemned before God and dead in our sins. But because of Christ, you and I are made partakers of the blessings of salvation through grace by faith. You and I are made sons and daughters and brought near to God by means of the shed blood of the Lamb who was slain. So herein lies our confidence this morning. We have confidence to draw near and enter into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, who has saved us and made us acceptable to him. So this brings us confidence to approach the Lord's table because of what Jesus has done for us. His blood ratifies the covenant and has paid the debt we owe for our sins so that you and I can draw near to him this morning through faith. So let's spend our time here a few moments to consider three things. That we have confidence to draw near as Jesus is our high priest. And then we have confidence to draw near because we are made clean. And then we have confidence to draw near and confess our hope. So firstly, we have confidence to draw near as Jesus is our high priest. After the ascension of Jesus on the day of Pentecost, the gospel spread. The church was growing and the old forms of worship were beginning to fade. Some of the Jews who had become Christians at this time were still meeting in their synagogues and conforming to the Jewish ceremonies and customs. And the holy place, the priesthood, the continual sacrifices, the sprinkling of the blood, and the blood of bulls and goats, and the ceremonial washings were all part of their understanding and practice and the law, which they loved so much. They continued that. But as persecution began to take hold against the church, some of the Jewish Christians were tempted to turn away and from following their new faith to go back to their Judaism. The author to the book of Hebrews uses the imagery of the Old Testament forms and types to show that they were really just a shadow of the good things to come, pointing to the Messiah who would fulfill all things. Hebrews shows that Christ is better than the old covenant and the law given by Moses. So the Jewish Christians were reminded that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures spoke of. He was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And in chapter 7, we read that Jesus is the high priest. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. His priesthood was better than the old covenant in every way. And then in our text, in verses 11 to 14, we read, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So the Levitical priests had to make sacrifices daily. Christ needed only to make one, the sacrifice of himself. Levitical priests ministered on earth. Christ is seated in heaven and continues to intercede for us. Levitical priests died. Christ lives forever. And through his blood, into the holy place was opened through the veil of his flesh. How could they turn back when they had now had the reality? Now they could be confident to draw near to God, and so can we. If we are trusting in his sacrificial death upon the cross, that his blood was shed for us, his body was broken, and his blood shed, granting us eternal life and in bringing us to himself, we can have confidence if we're trusting in his death. And in verse 19 to the beginning of verse 22, we read, therefore, brethren, having this boldness, having this confidence, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Jesus is our high priest. And this being so, again we read in Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he knows us. He stood firm when we could not. He pleads for us. He's able to save us forever who draw near to him. His priesthood lasts forever. His character ensures our acceptance before the Lord. He's holy. He's innocent. He's undefiled, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. That's our high priest. And our confidence is in our high priest who has our names upon his breast. He represents us before God. He intercedes for us in all our need, in all of our difficulties, in all our suffering. He is our high priest. Well, we can have boldness to approach God because of him. And another reason we can draw near is because we are made clean. Back to our text in verses 21 and 22, we read that having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We're to draw near to God with a true heart, with full assurance of faith. This is the confidence that is brought to us. We can come with an assurance of faith. And what does it mean to be fully assured? What does it mean to have a fully assured faith? Well, full assurance of faith is a deep and unshakable trust in God's promises. Something that we know is to certain, and we trust in his promises, and we're assured we have a fullness of faith and assurance. One writer has said that full assurance of faith can be understood as complete confidence, conviction, and trust in Jesus as detailed in the message of the gospel. It means we have taken hold of the good news about who we are in Christ and all he has done for us. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, the apostle states that for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. So we're fully assured and confident that we can draw near, believing that his blood is sprinkled upon our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and our bodies are being washed and made clean in his sight. So we can have confidence that we are made clean. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisee in Luke chapter 11. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also?" Well, the outside can look clean, but the inside can be filled with wickedness. But we need to be made clean, and we are. Our bodies are sprinkled, our hearts are sprinkled, and our bodies are washed. And you and I can draw near to God knowing that we are washed in the blood of the Savior. By means of his priesthood, the blood of Jesus has been sprinkled on your heart. And now your whole person is clean in the sight of God because of him. Well, his blood cleanses us, doesn't it? But also in Hebrews chapter 9, we read then, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Christ's blood cleanses our conscience. Douglas Kelly writes, "The inspired author exalts the supreme value of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only way to give sinners the priceless gift of a thoroughly clean conscience." Do you have a clean conscience? I'll leave this with you, for you to consider yourselves. I asked Google AI the question just to see what Google thinks about it. I got this response. "As an AI, Google search does not have a conscience, feelings, or personal experiences, so the concept of having a clean conscience does not apply." Well, Matthew Henry comments about the need to purge the conscience. He says, the efficacy of Christ's blood is very great, for it is sufficient to purge the conscience from dead works. It reaches to the very soul and conscience, the defiled soul. The defiled soul with sin, which is a dead work, proceeds from spiritual death and tends to death eternal. As touching of a dead body gave a legal uncleanness, so meddling with sin gives a moral and real defilement, fixes it in the very soul. But the blood of Christ has efficacy to purge it out. His blood is able to purge us and cleanse us of our conscience and make it tender. Do we have a tender conscience before God? The blood of Jesus makes us clean. The Apostle John writes in his first epistle, 1 John verse 17, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. Not just our conscience, the sin that's in our hearts, but in our actions, in our lives, and the sin that so easily besets us. We are cleansed. We are cleansed and brought through his blood and cleansed from all sin. So then, we have confidence to draw near as Jesus is our high priest, and confidence to draw near because we are made clean. But then, lastly, we have confidence to draw near and confess our hope. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. A true believer will not sit still or remain silent. A true believer will hold fast and confess the hope that God has promised. And this hope, we're told, is made certain by faith from the one who is faithful. It is a hope that is sure and certain and will never make us ashamed. And God wants us to know that he means what he says. In Hebrews 6, we read, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that we may have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, the hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. That hope enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Our hope is sure and certain. It is an anchor in our soul. Whatever storm may arise, all of our own efforts will never keep the ship intact. The sailors in Acts 27 did everything they could to lighten the ship and save themselves. They threw the cargo overboard. They tried to strap the ship's hull together with ropes to keep the sides from splitting apart. The waves were huge. They reefed in the sails, they threw the wheat and the tackle into the sea, but it was by the direction of God through Paul that brought them safely to shore. And that's the confidence we have, the hope we have. It's an anchor. It's an anchor to our souls, and that's sure and certain. It will hold us fast from the waves that come upon us. So, because of all that Jesus is and all that he has done, let us remember him and have this confidence this morning to draw near to him and to eat with him and drink with him, coming to him at his table, and he will come to us and dine with us. As we come together this morning and commune with him, eat the bread and drink of the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That's the confidence to speak of what the Lord's death is, to proclaim the Lord's death till he come, so we can have confidence in proclaiming our great hope. Are you trusting in his sacrifice? I hope that you are trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. Therefore, don't draw back, but have confidence to draw near as we come to his table. Amen.